email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Conor Pope joins us as he does every Monday. Pricewatch@rte.ie if you want Conor to grapple with any of your consumer issues, or if you have any tangled transactions you would like Conor to untwist. He's the man. So it was Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Are you an artificial man or a real man?
Like, I'm almost offended that you're asking me the question, Ray, because I'm clearly a real tree guy. I mean, that's the only right answer to that question. And when I heard you talking, saying that the three of you were all on your fake plastic trees, like, I'm horrified.
Yeah, first of all, you don't say fake, you say artificial.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if they're plastic.
And it's just where I grew up. I mean, my parents always had a real tree. Like, yeah. But back in the 70s and 80s, like, the trees were really miserable. Like, you know, yeah, they'd have shed all their pines by the 23rd of December. And basically, you'd just have this stalk with some things coming out of it for Christmas Day. And I don't know what it was like when you were growing up, but we didn't have stands. Like, we weren't fancy, just to be clear. So my dad would somehow use coal in a bucket to make the tree stand straight, which I think was an art in itself.
Yes, yes.
So when it came time for me to have Christmas trees, I in all conscience, I couldn't go out and then have artificial trees. Having said that, like, I've looked at some of them and I've looked at them with great envy, both in my family's houses, because my sister has one, my brother has one, my parents had one towards the end. And I've seen them in some department stores, and I'm looking at them going, oh, wouldn't that be great?
Symmetrical, even.
Yeah, but it's not the same, because I think
I'm listening to you there, yeah, and you're speaking very passionately about your memories. Maybe that's the crux of the whole thing, that we're all trying to recreate our childhood.
Exactly.
We had an artificial tree growing up, and we did have a stand.
Absolutely.
And we limited space. There was a lot of us, so we couldn't really, you know, we didn't have the space for a real tree. So I'm just following suit.
100%. And I think it's an interesting point that you made there, because I think Christmas, I think most people will remember the Christmases of their childhood. They mightn't remember the 14th of February or the 17th of March or the 17th of April or all these other dates. But Christmas is that moment in time. And I can remember every single Christmas from probably the age of three all the way up. And the tree was really important. And I want my children to have the same memories, the same fond memories when they're my age. And as a result, we got our tree yesterday. It's ridiculous. It's far too big for my house. But it'll be the centrepiece of the entire house for the next four weeks.
Having said that, can you now not understand why I would have an artificial tree?
100%. So I came in all guns blazing and I was like, I'm going to take that Ray Darcy guy down. And now you've made me feel terrible.
Here's the other thing. Because it's an ongoing, not a discussion, it's an ongoing sort of little, not even a niggle, but it is ongoing anyway in our house. So a few years ago, went down to the local Christmas shop and they had these miraculous, magical lights that you can leave them on white, you can have them flashing, but you can also have them coloured depending on the press of a button. Now, in me trying to recreate my childhood, I like the flashy, colouredy ones.
Yeah.
Jenny, trying to recreate her childhood, she wants to stay on white. So myself and Tom, who's 12, he likes the flashy, colouredy ones as well. So when Jenny's out of the house, we put on the flashy, colouredy ones.
That's the perfect 21st century compromise. you get a little bit of what you want, Jenny gets... Now, I have to say, myself and my wife, we have differing views on the lights. Because I'm all in on the gaudy, colouredy, flashy lights.
Tacky.
But she's more tasteful. Yes. And to be honest, we have a very tasteful tree.
Right. Okay, now I have an iPhone. A lot of people have iPhones, and there was an update over the weekend, iOS 18, and with that update comes this new passwords app. Now, I think it's been available to download previously, but now it comes as part of the update.
Yeah,
and when I opened it up, it told me that 68 of my passwords are compromised due to data leaks.
Yeah,
I just did that last night and I thought I won't be able to sleep now, but I managed to sleep.
Yeah.
So is that it? Should I take action or what?
100%. Now, actually, and I think this is a really important development, because the criminals and the scam artists out there are just getting so much better, and they're deploying technology that doesn't cost them anything, and they're using it against us. And we as individuals, we as a society, can't really fight that effectively and efficiently all of the time, because you can't always be on your guard. And the whole world of scamming is going to get worse, because with the deployment of AI and all these other things that we've talked about on your show in the past and other people have talked about, it's going to get harder and harder for us. So we are going to be reliant on the tech companies, on the mobile phone operators, on the search engines, and all on e-commerce websites to protect us. And I think this is a step in that direction, because what Apple is doing is it's got this new passkey software that's going to make it harder for criminals to access your passwords, but it also makes it easier for you to tell if those passwords have been compromised. Now, the reality is that technology is out there, and there's websites that you can key in. You can key in your username or whatever, or you can say, and it'll tell you your password has been compromised on this site, this site, this site, this site. And it's not necessarily something...
But nothing has happened. There are 68 warnings there.
Yeah.
And I'm aware of anything negative that has happened.
Because what might have happened is, let's say we call it raydarcy.net.
Yes.
So let's say raydarcy.net is a big social media platform, and let's say it had a data breach, and let's say some of the passwords that raydarcy.net
became known to somebody,
became known to a criminal,
yes,
3 or 4 or 5 years ago. So then the data breach was shut down, but it meant that the password that you were using for that particular account was then in the ether. It was circulating. That's not to say that a criminal got their hands on it and decided to target you specifically.
Right.
It just meant that those passwords were compromised, and as a result, you were a little bit more vulnerable.
Right.
It isn't the kind of thing that you should necessarily lose sleep over, because a lot of these data breaches might have happened 8, 10, 12 years ago, but they would still be recorded. It does indicate that we do need to be on top of it, because if there is a data breach and it's like all over the news, we kind of hear about it. So like if a huge big tech company has a data breach, well then we all know about it. But a lot of the time it's just like a small compromise that's happening, and they might send out an alert to you, you might miss it. It's just what this does is it makes you aware of the potential for problems. It's not something that I think you should be panicking about now.
Maybe I should revisit all my passwords then, should I?
Well, I'm amazed that you have 68 different passwords. Like, that's super impressive, because an awful lot of people just go with their mother's maiden name or their cat or whatever it might be.
I don't want to give too much away, but I would imagine if you used the same password in 60, which I haven't done, but if you did use 68 of the same password in different websites, you still could have 68.
You could have 68 breaches, yes, of course. But I mean, the thing is, it probably is a good idea to change
and
your
passwords
regularly.
And this is a good thing that Apple are offering this.
100%. I think
they're saying it's end-to-end encrypted.
Yeah. So, yeah. And again, you're going, if we go down the rabbit hole of the technology, I'll quickly get lost.
Oh, will you?
And then I will quickly lose your listeners. And we'll all be going, what is it that guy was saying? I have no idea. Because it is very complicated. But I think it's a reflection of the fact that the tech companies are more mindful of the threats that the bad guys are posing.
Okay.
And they're taking steps to protect us. But we do also have a responsibility to protect ourselves.
Okay. It is Cyber Monday. I see from research that fewer people are taking the opportunity to purchase things on Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
The gloss has gone off, the shine has gone off, has it?
Sort of. I think people are maybe a little bit more jaded than they used to be. And also I think people are a little bit more suspicious of the sales, and rightly so, because, and I think we've said it on the show in the past, like a lot of the products that are advertised as part of Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales, they're not really on sale, and they will be on sale again at the same price or even less in December. And they might have been on sale in the mid-season sales in October. So it's just, I think people are starting to look at it in some respects as it's a marketing wheeze.
And the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission are actually bringing a number of people, retailers, to court from last year.
Yeah,
so
now that's an interesting
that's
development.
A shot across the bow for other retailers, isn't it?
Yeah, and there will be, I think there's maybe four big retailers will be brought before the courts in January. Now that the CCPC, the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, hasn't named them, and they're probably very cautious about it because they don't want to be seen to be jumping ahead of themselves, ahead of a court hearing. But in January, these four retailers will be brought before the courts. And the CCPC does its homework very carefully. So you would imagine that they will have the evidence to and these people will be will be found to have breached the law when it comes to sales. And but the difficulty here is they're going to be brought to the district court, because that's the realm in which the CCPC operates with this kind of thing. And the maximum fine that any of these retailers can be given is €5,000.
Right.
Now, if you're a big retailer and you're told, okay, well, I can maybe bring in €500,000 worth of business by doing this thing.
It's five televisions, really.
And then I might have to face a rap across the knuckles and a €5,000 fine. Some retailers might decide, well, that's a business decision worth taking. However, I think there's the potential for reputational damage. And retailers, like big retailers, want to be seen to be following the law.
Yes.
And they don't want to be seen to be misleading their shoppers and their customers. So that's, I think, what's going to be the interesting. The fine will be almost entirely irrelevant to these companies, but the damage that it will do reputationally, if they have been shown to have deliberately misled their customers, well, I think that could be enduring. Because I think bottom line here is you should be able to trust what a retailer says about their pricing.
Yeah.
And if you can't trust that, well, then how can you trust anything that they're telling you?
Okay, well, if you did go online and purchase something over the weekend, you would be awaiting the arrival of your parcel at your front door. And that brings us nicely on to our problem today that came into Pricewatch at rte.ie. Connor, I came home over the weekend and found a parcel waiting on my doorstep. That is good news, you might say, but I live on a busy street close to the centre of Dublin, and the parcel had been left for anyone to steal. It was also lashing, and the gift inside could have been ruined. My real concern is a couple of other things I've ordered in recent weeks have gone missing, and now I'm wondering if they were stolen rather than lost in the post.
Yeah, this is a remarkable thing that we've seen in recent years, and I don't know if you've seen it around your neighbourhood. I've certainly seen it around my neighbourhood, where people, delivery companies, are just leaving parcels at people's doorsteps. They knock on the door, they leave the parcel, and they drive away. And they hope that somebody answers the door. And if they don't answer the door, well, then the parcel gets left on the doorstep for however long it might be. And I'm not actually blaming the delivery drivers here at all, because a lot of these guys, men and women, are under real pressure. They have a huge amount of deliveries to process, particularly in the run-up to Christmas, and it can be really difficult for them. But it does leave the consumer in a really difficult position as well, because, you know, you might, I've heard stories of delivery companies leaving parcels in wheelie bins.
Yes.
Because it's dry in a wheelie bin. But if they don't tell you the parcel is in the wheelie bin, then the rubbish, the parcel that you've bought can go out with the rubbish. So that's one thing that happens. Another story, because I've heard lots of horror stories about this, delivery companies throwing your packages over the fence into your garden, being entirely unaware that there's a pretty hungry dog on the other side of the fence who loves nothing more than to open a parcel that lands unexpectedly at his feet. So that can also happen. And then there's the simple thing that what happens if your parcels just disappear? Because you might know that it's been delivered. You might get a message from the company saying parcel has been delivered, and you go home and there's no parcel.
Are the legals around
it? Well, the thing is, your contract is always, always, always with the person you bought the product from.
Not the delivery person.
Not the delivery person. So let's say I bought a shirt from raydarcy.com and I get a message saying the shirt has been delivered, and I come home and there's no shirt, and I go, well, what's going on? Then legally, I contact raydarcy.com and they have a legal obligation to either send me a new shirt or give me my money back.
Right.
Because they can't prove that the shirt was delivered to me and I don't have the shirt.
Mm.
But then it becomes slightly difficult, because they can say, well, you know, we delivered it. And you go, well, I don't have it. Legally,
some people take a photograph of the delivery.
But the delivery companies.
Yes.
Well, they might, like, if they take a photograph of the delivery and the delivery's on your doorstep, that doesn't count.
Right.
Because that's not being delivered to you. That's being put on your doorstep. So you have a legal obligation. They have a legal obligation to give it back to you. And then what would happen normally is the shop would contact the delivery company, and the delivery company would have a legal obligation to give them back the money. But what actually happens more often than not is the delivery company says, well, we delivered it. And they use GPS to say, look, our van was in the neighbourhood. That proves that we delivered it. And then it gets into this over and back row between the shop and the delivery company. And it becomes really problematic. And an awful lot of companies, like particularly small and independent Irish companies, have to kind of take it on the take the hit.
Yes.
So they have to send me a new product, and they're not getting reimbursed from the delivery company. So it's really difficult to find a solution here because we all like the convenience.
Well, one of the solutions is Unpost have those delivery boxes.
And Unpost are one of the companies who would never, ever leave the parcels at your doorstep because they have the depots and they have, you know, so they have all.
So what advice to our listeners then who inevitably most of them are going to be ordering stuff online between now and Christmas, awaiting deliveries, and it's a busy time for them, so they may not be at home.
It's important to communicate with the delivery company. Yes. So if you get a message saying your delivery will be here between 12 and 2 tomorrow and you're not going to be there, contact them and say, listen, can you leave it with Johnny next door? Can you leave it in the shop across the road?
Or the green bin.
Or can you leave it in the green bin?
Yes.
But let me know where you've left it and don't just leave it on the doorstep.
Okay.
Because if you leave it on the doorstep and it's gone, well, I mightn't see it. And then you're entering a whole world of pain when it comes to Christmas presents.
Conor Pope, thank you very much. PriceWatch@rte.ie if you want Conor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. And we'll talk to Conor again next week. Cormac and Sarah are on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.